Today we're going to continue our study of Jeremiah 5. Yes, there's much that we're hearing that we don't like. We don't like it at all, and yet we know that it's all the Word of God and therefore super important. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so, and what will you do in the end thereof? What a terrible, terrible statement. The prophets. Who are the prophets? What is the character of a prophet? A prophet is someone who is commissioned by God to declare the word of God. Everybody in that congregation, beginning with the pastor and the elders and the deacons particularly, or the priests, if they are churches that call that claim they have priests, and this was also true in the Old Testament, or there were the priests, but here it's talking about those who bear rule. That is, those who have been given the spiritual oversight of the congregation. God is speaking about them. The prophets prophesy falsely. Now, today, when we, and I use this illustration again and again because it's just so shocking, when we see that every congregation allows divorce for fornication. That's contrary to the Word of God, as contrary as anything can be. And so that means that the prophets prophesy falsely. They are saying that can be when it is not to be. Or when they have a gospel where you can, you have to reach out and accept Christ, or you have to get water baptized, or and that puts you into the covenant, or you have to wait for Christ to give you some faith, and then God will work through that faith to save you. That will be the instrument that God uses to save you, and so on, we are bringing out false doctrine, false teaching. And the word means here, the prophets prophesied falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, is actually the word hand. By their hand. In other words, it is their will to do so. The hand is used in the Bible frequently to signify will. In other words, it is their will. This is what they want to do. As a matter of fact, we see this today when we come with these teachings from the Bible, showing in the Bible countless verses that support the fact that God's judgment is on the local congregations. It is the will of the theologians. No, we don't buy that. We don't accept that. That doesn't fit our rules. We have certain rules by which we understand Scripture. We use the literal method, the historical grammatical method that you are spiritualizing. You are looking for things that our rules will not permit you to see. And so they are ruling by their desires, by what they want to have happen, and they can't get out of that particular box that they are in. Ideally, I wish that that Family Radio was getting call after call from this seminary and that seminary and the other seminary. Would you please send us 50 copies of The End of the Church Age and After? Because we understand that you're teaching some things that we question very seriously, but yet we'd like to know, because we know that you're a very sedate organization, a very careful organization. You're not wild-eyed at all. You have been faithful for a long time to the Word of God, and we know that you reach out into the whole world, and we would really like to research what you are teaching. We'd like to have our students take a good long look at this because we're going to either find out that you're wrong, and we want to know why you're wrong, and in that sense we can be of real help to you in correcting you, Or maybe in case in that impossible possibility that you might be right, then at least we will be also aware of the truth and can come to the truth. Now, wouldn't that be a wonderful event if we would get those kind of requests from this seminary and that seminary and the other seminary, from this pastor, from that pastor? I want my congregation to look at this question very, very carefully. We're not getting those kind of calls at all. We're not getting those kind of calls because the prophets and the priests, they rule by their will, and they've made up their mind. They have made up their they've made their decision. We have the truth. We are satisfied. We have our confessions, and we can't go any further than that. And we have established the rules by which we are to read the Bible. I had a caller the other night on the open forum where somebody was saying, you know, the book of Revelation isn't a historical book at all. It is strictly a book of prophecy, of figures and types. And therefore, the record of Revelation 2 and Revelation 3 has to only to do with spiritual. You have to spiritualize that. He was really negating what was some other rules that he had been taught. But there are those who there are churches who lay down rules. They say, "Oh, the Old Testament, that's only for the Jews. That's not for us. We're Gentiles." Or they say the book of Matthew. Now that was written particularly to the Jews, so they are in view there. And the book of John, that's for the New Testament believers. So that's the book that we really want to read, and so on. And the book of Revelation, that is a chronological book of future events, and it had to be events that happened after the Bible was completed. All right, they've laid down these rules, which do not come from the Bible at all. Not from the Bible at all. They come down out from the minds of men. Then, based on those rules, their pastors and their people who are being taught try to understand the Bible within the framework of these rules. And they never can come to truth. They can't come to truth because the rules have blocked the truth. The rules are incorrect that they're trying to study the Bible by the same way, the same thing what they do when they talk about how to interpret the Bible and so on. These rules block them from the truth. But the rules are established by the churches and by the denominations and not by the Bible. The end is that the prophets prophesy falsely and they bear rule by their way. And then the next phrase, and my people, love to have it so. My people love to have it so. Now, who are these people? Again and again, we run into this phrase. God says he will judge his people. Judgment begins with the house of God. The house of God is where his people are. We must remember that when God uses the phrase his people or my people, he can use it in two different ways. The corporate external representation of the kingdom of God, which includes every congregation throughout the church age, can be correctly spoken of as God's people, because they are externally representing the kingdom of God. They are not God's people eternally. They are not God's people in the sense that they have become born again necessarily. However, in the midst of them, there is a sprinkling of true believers that are God's people eternally, who are safe and secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. But here where he is speaking about those who are under these prophets who prophesy according to their will, according to what they like, the people love to have it so. Very easy to understand that. As soon as they began to teach that you could divorce for fornication, they followed that right up with other doctrines. You can divorce for this and for that, and you can marry again. Did the people love it? Oh, my, my, my. This was wonderful. I don't have to live with my wife anymore. I'm going to look for another wife. I can prove that she had a little affair over there, and so she is guilty of adultery. And so legitimately, I can divorce her, and my life can still be happy for me. I don't have to live with this wife who I didn't like anyway. After the honeymoon, I got tired of her real fast, and now I have a legitimate biblical basis to put her away. Isn't that wonderful? And look, we smile at this, but that's exactly the mentality. That's exactly the mentality. I know in my years on the open forum, I've had this happen very frequently, that someone would call and say, you know, my wife is so-and-so and so-and-so, and I want to divorce her. Can I? And I go say, well, if you're going to follow the Bible, no, there's no possibility. You have to make your marriage work. And then later on they would confess, well, you know, I was really hoping for divorce because I had some other ideas about another wife. And you know, when I found out I can't have another wife, if I do divorce, I can't marry anyone else, then I know I have to stick with my present wife. And I began to make it my business to love her, and things are going way better now, just much better. But you see, the people love to have it so. There are elders. They go to their pastor. If their pastor preaches a particularly tough message on judgment, the elders will come to them and say, Pastor, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't do that. You know, we're trying to build this congregation. We're trying to get more members, and that's very offensive to people. You may believe that, but don't preach like that. You have to preach the love of Christ, and because we want people to come here, and then maybe as they become members here, maybe they'll begin to hear somewhere along the way something about the judgment of God. Well, you can see the idea. We have to preach what people love, what they can be happy with, and because it is based on man's thinking, it makes a total shambles, a total mess of the gospel. You don't know whether what you have any longer, but that's exactly the kind of a gospel that is being brought today to a very, very high degree. My people love to have it so. You know, we read, my people. No wonder Jesus wept over Jerusalem. My people. He wept over Jerusalem because he knew that judgment had to come on Jerusalem. They're his people. He has provided for their care. He has instituted the church, the local congregations. They are a divine institution. He has laid down careful rules for the care of those people. He's given them the Word of God, the rule book of the kingdom that stipulates how we are to live and what our true situation is and so on. And mankind, right in the place where they ought to be seriously trying to do it God's way, they have made a shambles of it. They have turned it around to make it a gospel of men, a gospel of what we want, utilizing the name of Christ. And that is the terrible thing. It's bad enough, as I've said again and again, for a Buddhist or for a Mohammedan or a Confucianist or a Taoist or some Eastern religion or some religion that makes no pretension of having identification with the Bible to teach what they teach. But when they teach in the name of Christ, and it reminds us again and again of that passage in Isaiah 4 where God talked about, the seven women that wanted to have their own clothing. They wanted to have their own food, but they wanted the name of Christ. They wanted to identify with Christ. And that just multiplies the sin. Multiplies the sin. Because now they are saying, thus saith the Lord, and the Lord has not said. So it's a great, big, fat lie. A big falsehood. That's the word God uses here in verse 31. The prophets prophesy falsely, falsely, and my people love to have it so. And then comes the warning, and what will we do, what will ye do in the end thereof? Now this has been in the Bible for 2,000 years, this verse, like all of Jeremiah. Like all the other verses in the Bible, have been there for 2,000 years. And this warning has been there constantly. And even though it was not understood that there would finally be the end of the church age, there were many things that were not understood. These verses can certainly be understood. These verses can certainly be understood. These are not hidden verses. These are verses that Any Bible reader could read and have understanding of. They may not know the whole context, but it certainly is a verse that should cause them to take note and ask the question, what about us? How are we doing? Because there is an end. And then as they begin to search the Bible, even though they don't know any details of the end, like we know today, they don't understand the Great Tribulation at all. They didn't understand the latter rain at all. They didn't understand that judgment begins with the house of God and would finally transition to the final judgment. None of that was understood. But they knew there was an end, and they knew what the end was. And that end is Judgment Day. And they knew Matthew chapter 7. They didn't have to have a special unction to understand Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone, in Matthew 7, 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. That's not a passage that requires a great understanding of the Bible. That's a very plain statement. At any time in the history of the church, this could be understood. Just like with these last closing verses of Jeremiah 5. They could be, even though a lot of other things could not be understood, these verses can. So the warning has always been there. What will you do in the end? And here God is describing what the end is going to be. You're going to be cast out. I never knew you. I never knew you. And so this should have been something that was frightening and people all through the church age. This is something that should have been considered again and again and again and preached about again and again and again. I can say in my history or in my pilgrimage of my life, I don't ever remember a sermon preached on these verses or on Jeremiah 5, the closing verses. Maybe there has been and I've forgotten, but certainly they are not popular passages, that's for sure. But yet they are enormously important, enormously important. And now today, when God has opened our eyes wide to exactly how bad the situation is and the fact that God's judgment already is on the local congregations. It is a time when everybody who claims to be a Christian ought to be trembling before the Word of God. Where do I stand? Is this speaking directly to me? Am I outside of this judgment, or am I going to be included in this judgment? And yet, the sorrowful thing is, and this is why it's time of great tribulation, nobody apparently, or very few, to say nobody, that's not a true statement, but there's so few that are really being disturbed. One dear soul said to me, "You know, you talk about great tribulation. It's tribulation that's coming out of your own mind. I don't see any tribulation. I don't see any tribulation in the church. It's coming out of your own mind." And so what this dear soul was really declaring is that she was not studying the Bible, because we learn about the great tribulation from the Word of God, like we learn about salvation from the Word of God. We don't learn about it by looking out here or out there. We don't see massive killing, blood flowing in the streets, in the churches. We don't see that, but we see it through the Bible. We see a spiritual killing going on, but we have to read the Bible. We don't see chaos in denomination after denomination. Oh yeah, we have denominations that are being split because of some crazy practice that they want to make a bishop who is a homosexual ordain him as a bishop, and we see those kinds of things. But on the other hand, there are a lot of denominations that seem to be going along quite well, thank you. And so what's the big deal? Well, the big deal is the Bible. It's the Bible. We have to go back to it again and again. Well, we're finished with Jeremiah chapter 5, and in our next study, we're going to take a big leap forward and go to Jeremiah chapter 6. And that's the next verse, Jeremiah 6. And we're going to start out with Benjamin. And you can do your homework by looking up Benjamin. What does that mean, and why is God now speaking about, "O ye children of Benjamin"? And what in the world is this this statement here? "Blow the trumpet in Tekoah, set up a sign of fire in Beth-Hakkerem." Beth-Hakkerem, what could that mean? Well, we'll look at that in our next study. And isn't it wonderful that if we stay in the Bible, we keep coming to more and more truth. And as we go on in Jeremiah 6, we're going to find more truth that is important for us to know about.